ಗೋಪೀಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗುರುವರದಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಗಜಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಗಜಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, The Status Quo, Chapter 8, Manifestation of Brahma from Garbhodakshay Vishnu, verse number 23, right? 3.8.23. ಮೃಣಾಲ ಗೌರಾಯತ ಶೇಷ ಭೋಗ ಪರ್ಯಂಕ ಏಕಂ ಪುರುಷಂ ಶಯಾನಂ ಫನಾತ್ ಪಾತ್ರಾಯುತ ಮೂರ್ಧರತ್ನ ದ್ಯುಭಿರ್ಹತಧ್ವಾಂತಯುಗಾಂತತೋಯೆ ಮೃಣಾಲ ಗೌರಾಯತ ಶೇಷ ಭೋಗ ಪರ್ಯಂಕ ಏಕಂ ಪುರುಷಂ ಶಯಾನಂ ಫನಾತ್ ಪತ್ರಾಯುತ ಮೂರ್ಧರತ್ನ ದ್ಯುಭಿರ್ಹತಧ್ವಾಂತಯುಗಾಂತತೋಯೆ ಮೃಣಾಲ ಗೌರಾಯತ ಶೇಷ ಭೋಗ ಪರ್ಯಂಕ ಏಕಂ ಪುರುಷಂ ಶಯಾನಂ ಫನಾತ್ ಪತ್ರಾಯುತ ಮೂರ್ಧರತ್ನ द्युभिर्हतध्वान्तयुगान्ततोये Sheshnag Paryanke on the bed Ekam alone Purusham the Supreme Person Shayanam was lying Phanata Patra Umbrella of a serpent hood Ayuta bedecked with Murdha head Ratna jewels Dyubhi by the rays Hatadvanta darkness dissipated Yugaanta devastation Toe in the water. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Brahma could see that on the water there was a gigantic lotus-like white bedstead, the body of Sheshnag, on which the personality of Godhead was lying alone. The whole atmosphere was illuminated by the rays of the jewels bedecking the hood of Sheshnag. And that illumination dissipated all the darkness of those regions. We read the next verse as well. Verse number 24, translation. The luster of the transcendental body of the Lord mocked the beauty of the coral mountain. The coral mountain is very beautifully dressed by the evening sky, But the yellow dress of the Lord mocked its beauty. There is gold on the summit of the mountain, but the Lord's helmet, bedecked with jewels, mocked it. The mountains, waterfalls, herbs, etc., with a panorama of flowers, seem like garlands, but the Lord's gigantic body and his hands and legs, decorated with jewels, pearls, tulsi leaves, and flower garlands, mock the scene on the mountain. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The panoramic beauty of nature, which strikes one with wonder, may be taken as a perverted reflection of the transcendental body of the Lord. One who is therefore attracted by the beauty of the Lord is no longer attracted by the beauty of material nature, although he does not minimize its beauty. In Bhagavad Gita 2.59, it is described that one who is attracted by Param, the Supreme, is no longer attracted by anything inferior. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So I am very happy and honored to be here today in this wonderful, vibrant devotee community. And it's a great privilege to offer this service of speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So I seek blessings of all the devotees to be able to do this service for their pleasure. So we are reading this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Lord Brahma, after his, is it okay? Okay. Sorry. Thank you. It's okay. Audible? Better? So Lord Brahma, after his meditation and tapasya, he has been able to have darshan of the Lord, Lord Vishnu. And eventually, it is described that he sees Krishna, Govinda. And that's how he writes, he composes Brahma Samhita prayers. So these few verses are describing his darshan. So in the beginning of creation, when the Lord wants to create, the Purusha Avatar, Mahavishnu, Karnodakshaya Vishnu, he lies down on the causal ocean. And by his will, big gigantic universes come out from the pores of his skin and they float in the ocean. And then Lord Mahavishnu expands into millions of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu forms, and each Garbhodakshaya Vishnu enters one universe. And when Garbhodakshaya Vishnu goes inside the universe, there is nothing. There is not even an asana to sit. So he produces sweat from his body, transcendental water. And that fills half the universe. That's Garbhodakoshyam. Then on Sheshanag, he lies down alone. And then when there is desire of creation from his navel, a lotus stem sprouts. And then there is lotus flower. And the first living entity, Lord Brahma, takes birth on the lotus flower. This birth, generally, our experience is birth happens when there is combination of male and female, husband and wife. But this birth is done by Lord Vishnu without any help. That's why the word alone is mentioned. That he gives birth to Brahma or he creates the world. He doesn't require assistance or help. He is independent Purusha, independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord doesn't need anything. If he takes support of anything or anybody, that is his pastime, that is his leela. He gives opportunity to his devotees to offer him service. Like in the form of Archavigra deities, he accepts service as if he is dependent, that somebody should come and dress me, somebody should come and give me garland, somebody should come and offer me food. But he is not dependent. We are dependent. We are not feeding him. He is feeding us. But he accepts service. That's a loving exchange. He accepts service for our purification, to bless us. We come to see him. Yes. More than that, he has come to show himself. That is his causeless mercy. We are not seeing him just because I have eyes. We are seeing him because he has made himself available to give darshan. If I want to see an object, I just need eyes and light. I don't need object's mercy. But if I want to see Shyam Sundar, I want to take darshan of Shyam Sundar, apart from my eyes and sunlight or light, I need causeless mercy of Shyam Sundar. It is his mercy that I can see. It is his mercy that he comes on my tongue as holy name. The chanting of Hare Krishna is not just because I have tongue, but also because he agrees to come on my tongue. So it is Krishna's mercy that we perform any kind of devotional service. He is independent. He agrees to accept service for our benefit. So we should be very, very grateful when we get to see him, when we get to offer obeisances to Krishna, when we get to attend Mangala Arati, and when we get to chant and hear his holy name, and read and hear his Bhagavatam, and meet his devotees, and honor Prasadam, and do service. We should be very, very grateful that, my dear Lord, I am not qualified. I don't deserve this. But you are so merciful that you are coming in front of my eyes in the form of Archavigra. You are coming in my ears in the form of transcendental sound vibration, holy name and Bhagavatam. You are coming on my tongue as holy name and as Mahaprasadam. So that is his mercy. So the independent Purusha, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, he gives birth to Brahma without any assistance. the first living entity. And when Brahma comes on the lotus flower, he starts seeing left, right, here and there, what is happening, what is around. And the Lord again mercifully thinks, if he sees left, right so much, it may not be easy for him. So he gives him 3 more heads. So he gets 4 heads. So he doesn't have to do left, right. He can see in 4 directions. Then Lord Brahma has questions. Who am I? What is my purpose? And there is nothing around him. He is hearing some sound of the waves of water, but there is no water around him. And it's all dark. So the only other object he sees beside himself, beside his body, is a lotus flower. So he thinks maybe inside this flower and stem something might be there. There must be an end of this tube, end of this stem, and I'll find out some more information. So he enters the stem, goes inside, but he doesn't reach the end. Finally, after years of going inside, he comes back on the lotus flower. Then he is inspired by Lord Krishna to do tapasya by hearing ta and pa, tapa, tapasya. And he meditates on the Lord's form, does tapasya. And after years of tapasya and bhakti, he has darshan. And his darshan, he sees the vast Garbhodak ocean, very vast. So many waves. Then he sees white Sheshnag, like a bed, very, very soft and white, very huge, gigantic, with millions of hoods, which form an umbrella for the Lord. And the hoods have jewels, colorful jewels, and they are illuminating. And that illumination destroys all the darkness around, and that's how everything is visible. We see not just by our eyes, but when there is light. If there is no sunlight or electricity, we can't see with our eyes. We can see an object when that object is in light. So there is no sun there. But Brahma can see because the light is from the jewels which are on the hood of millions of hoods of Sheshnag. Sheshnag is also expansion of Lord. Krishna expands into Balaram. And Balaram takes the form of Sheshna to offer service to Krishna, to offer service to Vishnu. Same Balaram takes form of Lakshman to offer service to Ram. Same Balaram takes form of asan and bedding and shoes and sacred thread and other paraphernalia. Same Balaram comes as Nityanand Prabhu to offer service in Sankirtan movement to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Same Balaram has come as Mridang and Kartal, so that we can do Sankirtan, Kirtan, chanting. Same Balaram has come the ceiling, the floor, the pillars, the walls and the altar, so we can worship Shyam Sundar. So this floor and pillars and walls are expansion of Balaramji. So that is his eternal service, to support the existence, to support the universe, to support the Sankirtan movement, to support the devotees. So Balaramji expands into Sheshnag, and with millions of hoods, he is very beautiful. Snow like white, soft like cotton. And Lord Brahma sees on that Sheshnag is lying down peacefully Lord Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, gigantic form of Vishnu, so beautiful. The beauty of the Lord is described in the scriptures. So beautiful Vishnu or Krishna, same. Krishna is so beautiful. We call him Shyam Sundar. Shyam means dark. Sundar means beautiful. Shyam Sundar. Sometimes people say dark is not beautiful. Some misconception people have. That's why in market, if you know, they sell fair and lovely cream for girls. That you apply this cream. It's all marketing gimmick, not required. Dark is also beautiful, not just fair is beautiful. Shyam Sundar, dark and Sundar, beautiful. When Mother Rukmini Devi, she wrote the letter to Krishna to come and kidnap her. How did she start the letter? She started the letter, "My dear Bhuvana Sundar, beauty of the universe, beauty of the universe." And then she writes, "My dear Bhuvana Sundar, Ambukja Aksham, Lotus Petal Lord, you may think I am a shameless girl, that I am writing a love letter to a boy. 5,000 years before, the Vedic culture is so strong that if a young girl, princess, writes a letter to a young boy, prince, writing that letter is sufficient reason to reject the girl that she is of shameless behavior or she is of not good character, that she is writing a love letter to a boy. Even today, at that time, Rukmini Devi was 11, 12 years of age. Even today, in good families, if a young girl like that writes a letter to a young boy in another family, they will think that this girl is not good, she is writing letters like this. So Rukmini Devi, 5,000 years before, took a very great risk. Because writing this letter was sufficient reason to reject her by Krishna. Thinking is not of good character, shameless girl. So Rukmini Devi is expressing, "My dear Lord, you must be thinking I am shameless that I am writing a letter to you. But it is not my fault. It is your fault. Who is writing letter? Rukmini Devi. Whose fault? Krishna's. How? She says, you are so beautiful, even married women want to marry you. So when I am writing letter to marry you, that is not my fault. You are so beautiful." So indirectly she is saying, she is not pointing fault. She is glorifying that he is so beautiful. All the ladies of the universe get attracted to Shyam Sundar, Bhuvana Sundar. And we have example of gopis in Vrindavan Dham. When the gopis would talk among themselves, one gopi is telling other gopi that this creator, Brahma, is very good. He did a good job. What good job he did? He gave us two eyes. Very good job. Two eyes. Eyes. Very good job. Why? Because with these eyes we can see Shyam Sundar. So beautiful. Feast for the eyes. But one thing he did, he put a defect in his creation. Defective creation. One mistake he did. What mistake? He made the eyes blink. That he should not have done. Because when the eyes blink, for that moment the darshan is stopped. That I don't like. He should have made non-blinking eyes. He could have made other organs of the body blink. Ears can blink, hands can blink, kidney can blink, no problem. But eyes don't blink, because when the eyes blink, momentarily the darshan is interrupted. Look, when our eyes blink, we don't realize. It's so fast. But the gopis would realize, because they are in ecstasy of seeing beautiful Shyam Sundar with bluish body and lotus petal like eyes and mirror like cheeks and reddish lips and pearl like white teeth and bow like eyebrows, moon like face, black curly hairs, broad chest, thin waist, wearing a peacock feather and a yellow dhoti and a garland Vaijanti mala and Kaustubh mani and shark shaped earrings, so beautiful. So beautiful that the day we see Krishna, we will stop using the word beautiful for anything else. Because that word beautiful is only for the Lord, is so beautiful. So the gopis are missing this darshan when the eyes are blinking. They say, Brahma didn't do good. He gave eyes good, but he made them blinking not good. Then another gopi said, I think Brahma has not seen Krishna. Here we are reading Brahma has seen, but gopis are discussing, I think Brahma has not seen Krishna. Another sakhi said, why do you say that? The gopi said, if Brahma had seen Shyam Sundar, he would have given us thousands of eyes, everywhere eyes, 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 whole body full of eyes, because two eyes are not sufficient to see him. We don't get satisfaction with two eyes. So this is the gopi's ecstasy, seeing the beautiful form of Shyam Sundar. In fact, there is a pastime that Krishna is walking in the palace of Dwaraka and the pillars have big diamonds like mirrors. You can see your own reflection clearly. So Dwarkadesh is walking and he sees his reflection in one pillar and he stops and he carefully sees the reflection and he points the finger. He said, who is this beautiful boy? He saw himself yesterday, but today his beauty has increased. So he is attracted to his own beauty. We have pastime in Bhagavatam where Mahavishnu wants to take darshan of Krishna and he steals the sons of a Brahmana in Dwarka. So this is the beautiful form. And Krishna's beauty is an impetus to love him. Krishna's beauty is an impetus to serve him. By seeing the beautiful form of the deities, service attitude develops. We feel like serving Krishna. Srila Prabhupada taught us how to decorate deities very nicely with nice garments, colorful garments and colorful flowers and garlands and ornaments and nice altar decorated. And he said, this is also preaching. It's not that just giving class is preaching. Decorating deities is also preaching. When visitors come to temple and see the decorated deities, they develop service attitude. We have nice pastime where once a fruit vendor lady came to Nand Bhavan, to the house of Yashoda Maiya and Nand Maharaj, and small boy Krishna, 3 years of age, he saw the fruits in the basket and he wanted fruits. And he had seen his father how to purchase fruits by barter system. He gives 1 kilogram of rice and takes 1 kilogram of fruit. You give 1 kilogram milk and take 1 kilogram cloth by weight. So small Krishna immediately rushed to the kitchen and picked up a palmful of rice, grains, and he rushed to the door. Now he's a small boy, so his palm, small child, so his palm is anyway small and is not used to holding it, so most of the grains fell from the gap of his fingers. So when he reached the door and opened his palm, there were only 4 or 5 grains. Now as per weight of 4 and 5 grains in exchange, you will not even get a small grape in 4 or 5 grains. What you will get? So he got morose. And the fruit vendor Mataji, she said, this is sufficient. She took 4 or 5 grains and gave 8 to 10 fruits. More than the weight, of course. And Krishna was very joyful that I did more profitable barter than my father ever did in his life. And he wanted to show to his mother that I had earned more money, more profit I did today. Now my question is, why did she give so many fruits to Krishna, which was more than proportionate barter she is supposed to give? And Prabhupada writes very nicely, because she was captivated by the beauty of Krishna. Captivated. There can be the word attracted or mesmerized. But Prabhupada uses the word captivated. She got captivated by the beauty of Krishna. So in Nectar of Devotion, Sri Rupa Goswami explains, the beauty of the Lord is an impetus to serve Him. So every day when I come and see the beautiful deities of Krishna, especially in Mangalarti, Shingararti, it helps me to develop my service attitude towards Krishna. So this is a very nice habit to come every day and pay obeisances to Krishna, chant and dance in front of Him, attend Mangalarti, Guru Puja class, Shingararti, chant our rounds, morning program. This is a very nice habit to rapidly grow in Krishna consciousness. To see the Lord itself is devotional service. We get purified. All our sins go away. When the Lord glances on us, we get completely purified. Once in Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting with his devotees. At that time, Advaita Acharya came. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaita Acharya had a very nice relationship of joking and loving each other. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu welcomed Advaita Acharya. He said, Advaita Acharya, please come, welcome. From where are you coming? So Advaita Acharya said, my Lord, I am coming after seeing Lord Jagannath, the beautiful Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, very nice. What did you do after seeing Lord Jagannath? Advaita Acharya said, after seeing Jagannath, I immediately came to see you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, after seeing Jagannath and before seeing me, in between what did you do? Advaita Acharya said, oh, after seeing Jagannath, I took parikrama of the temple. Because that is also devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laughed. Advaita, you are defeated. They had that kind of relationship. Advaita, you are defeated today. All the devotees didn't understand. Advaita Acharya said, how am I defeated today? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when I go to Jagannath temple, I don't do parikrama. Because when I do parikrama, when I am backside of the temple, For that few seconds, I can't see Jagannath. My eyes cannot see Jagannath. My time is wasted. So I just stand in front of Jagannath and see Jagannath. You, for momentarily, didn't see Jagannath when you were doing parikrama, so you are defeated today. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing he is so attracted to the beautiful form of the deity that he is not going back of the deity. No, I want to see Jagannath. Of course, we should do parikrama. That's part of sadhana bhakti mentioned in Nectar of Devotion. But devotees on this stage who are attracted to the beauty of the Lord, they just want to see Him. That is feast for the eyes. So to glorify the beauty of the Lord, the next verse mentions that the beautiful form of the Lord mocks or derides a coral mountain or emerald mountain. Of course, we do not have a direct experience of a coral or emerald mountain. But emerald stone is considered, coral stones are considered very beautiful. So if a mountain is there, it's very beautiful. One of the beautiful scenes. So Lord Mahavishnu, or Garbhadakshaya Vishnu here, he is so beautiful that his beauty mocks or derides the beauty of a coral mountain. Coral mountain in the evening sky is more attractive. So his yellow dhoti, Lord Vishnu's yellow dhoti, mocks the beauty of the evening sky. The evening sky is little yellowish and saffron in color. And the coral mountain with the background of yellow and saffron looks attractive. So Lord Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is also wearing yellow dhoti. So this yellow dhoti derides or mocks the evening beauty of the evening sky. Then he further says, the helmet of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, the golden helmet, derides the beautiful golden top of the mountain. The mountain top is golden. When the rays of the sun fall on the stone, they appear golden. So it's very beautiful. But the Lord's golden helmet is mocking this beauty. And the Lord's garland and pearls and jewels decorating his body and tulsi leaves mock the various beautiful varieties on the mountain. The beautiful varieties in the mountain are streams and herbs and pearls and flowers, jewels. So that is also beautiful, panoramic scene. But the Lord's beauty mocks this beauty. The Lord's arms mock the presence of bamboo on the mountain, presence of trees on the mountain. So in other words, the most beautiful object in this material world cannot be compared to the beauty of the Lord, because Lord's beauty is incomparable, not just superior, but beyond incomparable. Krishna is one without a second. Which means Krishna cannot be compared with anybody. He is not just superior, but actually beyond, transcendental. So this beautiful form of the Lord is visible to a devotee in the heart when he performs offenseless chanting. Naam, Roop, Gun, Leela. When one realizes Krishna's holy name is non-different from Krishna, then Krishna's beautiful form is revealed in the heart. And when one continues to chant with that realization, Krishna's wonderful qualities are revealed. And we continue to chant, then Krishna's transcendental pastimes are revealed. So the holy name of the Lord, when chanted attentively without offenses every day, reveals the transcendental form of Shyam Sundar in our heart. Naam Roop, and we continue to grow in bhakti. So the way to see this form is not eyes but ears. We hear the holy name. The holy name comes out of my lips and goes into my ears. And from ears the holy name goes into the heart. And the soul is in the region of the heart. And the holy name also comes in my heart and touches the soul. And the soul gets enlivened that yes, I am servant of Krishna. That is called self-realization, Atma-sakshatkar. Self-realization happens when the holy name penetrates, goes in the region of the heart and enlivens the soul, purifies the consciousness, cheto-darpana-marjanam, cleans the mirror of the heart. And the transcendental form of Lord Shyam Sundar is revealed in one's heart. So this realization of beautiful form of the Lord occurs by ears, when we attentively hear the holy name of Krishna. The holy name is not different from Krishna. And holy name can give all spiritual success. So we should be very, very serious in chanting our japa. Minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. 500 years before, the king of Bengal was Nawab Hussain Shah. And one day he went to his palace room, bedroom, and he was changing his cloth. And the queen saw some mark on his back. So the queen said, Maharaj, what is this mark on your back? And the king said, there is one Hindu landlord, Jamindar, Subuddhi Roy. He hit me with a stick. That is the mark. The queen said, how can somebody hit a king? Right now you kill him on the public forum, you execute him on the road, in the public execution. The king said, no, he didn't hit me today. He hit me when I was not king, many years back. Queen said, now you are king, you punish him, kill him. The king said, look, I can't kill him. He is my father figure. When I was a small boy, I was on the street and he was very kind, so he took me to his home, he gave me food, he gave me cloth, he gave me shelter, accommodation, and I used to do some odd jobs for him in the house. And one day I did a major mistake and he was angry and he hit me with a stick. That is the mark, but he didn't tell me to get out. He still continued to maintain me. I stole money, but still he maintained me. So he's my father figure, I can't kill him. The queen said, I don't know all this story, you kill him. And every day she will say. Now if the wife says every day same thing, the pressure increases. It's called nagging, the pressure increases. I mean, even if the husband says the same thing every day, the pressure increases. So the king was getting pressured, so she told very strongly to the queen, don't tell me every day, I can't kill him. Queen said, no, you have to kill him. So finally the king said, okay, look, what I will do is, I will take water from my glass and throw on him. At that time in India there was a misconception, wrong tradition, that if a follower of Islam, Muslim person, throws water on a Hindu person, the Hindu becomes Muslim. This is not Shastric. There is no philosophy behind it. Nobody can get converted like this by water. But that was the system. And when somebody becomes from Hindu to Muslim through water, then his whole Hindu family and village will ostracize him. He will be on the road, bankrupt, zero bank balance. It is kind of death only. Everything is lost. But he's alive. He's breathing. So king said, I can do this. Queen said, do it right now. And he went, threw water on him, he became Muslim, the family ostracized him. He was a big landlord with big property, land, money, family, prestige, position, status, responsibility. Everything became zero, he's on the street now. Kind of death. So Subuddhi Rai, very intelligent, he thought, since many years I am thinking of taking sannyas, but I am not getting opportunity, now I have good opportunity, let me take sannyas. So he went to Varanasi, is there in India, Kashi, Banaras. It's a dham of Lord Shiva, Vishwanath. So in Varanasi he thought, let me become Hindu first, then take sannyas. So he approached some scholars, panditas. And he said, this is my story. The Muslim king threw water on me. I want to become Hindu again. What should I do? The scholar said, we'll have to do some research. Because this is not a regular problem. So they did some Zoom conference with other scholars, I don't know. They did some research and they get back to him. They said, look, we found a solution. You take pure cow ghee and you boil it. And it is extremely hot boiling, you drink it. Subhadra said, wait a minute. If I drink extremely hot cow ghee, I will die. They said, right. If you die through ghee, next time you will take birth from a Hindu mother. That is the only solution. Subhadra said, I want second opinion. He went to some other scholars. They gave some other answer. So there was a confusion. He was in dilemma what to do. At that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived in Varanasi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 8 to 12 hours would chant and dance on the streets of Varanasi Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And hundreds and thousands and lakhs of people would follow him chanting and dancing in ecstasy. Every day early morning for Mangala Arati, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to the temple of Lord Shiva. Early morning, hundreds of people would come in the temple of Lord Shiva to take darshan of Lord Shiva. Early morning, thousands of people would come to the temple of Lord Shiva to take darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He became so popular. So Subhadra thought, I should meet him. So he found an opportunity. He went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and narrated the whole story. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laughed. He said, you don't have to drink this pure boiling hot cow ghee. You just go to Sri Vrindavan Dham and chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. You will get purified from all sinful reactions. And after becoming pure, you continue to chant without offenses, you will get Krishna prema. And Subhadra went to Vrindavan. He chanted holy name without offenses. He got pure. After becoming pure, he continued to chant. And he got Krishna prema. He became associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So much so that when the six Goswamis one by one came to Vrindavan initially, he is the one who hosted Rupa and Sanatan Goswami for 1 month. How will he host? Subhadra will correct wooden piece which were fallen from the tree, wooden branches. He will not cut a tree in Vrindavan. Whatever wooden pieces have fallen down, twigs and wooden branches, he would collect and make a bundle, make a load, and carry the load walking from Vrindavan to Mathura market, and he will sell it for 4-5 anna. That is a cent, unit of money. And he will come back for 1 anna, for 1 unit, he will purchase chickpeas, chana, chickpeas. And he will eat those chickpeas and drink water from Yamuna. That was his meal. And 4 anas, 4 units, he would keep with the shopkeeper every day. 4 units he will save. So when devotees from Bengal would come, he would use that saved money to purchase curd, rice, oil, milk, fruits, and he'll serve the Vaishnavas. That is how he lived his life. So by chanting Hare Krishna, he got Krishna prema. And that same chanting, that same holy name is gifted to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. So very seriously, we should continue to chant our minimum 16 rounds. Attentively, without offenses, chanting and hearing Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And that's how we rapidly advance in spiritual life, to see Krishna one day face to face. That is a benediction Prabhupada has given, that if every day we chant minimum 16 rounds, follow 4 regulative principles and other aspects of bhakti, at the end of life we go and see Krishna face to face. So how much more age average we have, 30, 40 years, 50, 60 years, 70 years, what age we have. So next few years, whatever our life is, if we maintain this, we'll see Krishna face to face. What a nice opportunity. And if we don't maintain these four aggregate principles and we do sinful activities, we'll see Yamaraj face to face. That's not a good one, interesting thing. Of course, a devotee who's incomplete bhakti again takes birth in Vaishnava family. So that's no loss of bhakti. But we have an opportunity to become 100% this life, 100% successful by the mercy of Krishna and devotees. Especially by everyday chanting nice rounds and attending Mangala Aarti, Guru Puja class, following four regulative principles. There's a process of sadhana in the association of devotees, and we have a nice opportunity here in this temple, in this community. It's very easy to attend morning program, we just have to be part of it. Everything is happening, we just have to be part of it and do some service. But so much growth happens in those 4 hours, morning 4.5 hours, from 4:30 till 9. So much growth happens. 4:30 to 9, just 4.5 hours when I am in the temple hall early morning. So much growth is happening, so much spiritual advancement is happening. Out of 64 items of devotional service, 50 are happening just in 4.5 hours. If I am at home, it may not happen, but here it happens. So it's a very nice opportunity and we should every day participate. Thank you very much. We end here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupad ki jai. If there are any comments or any questions. Yes, Maharaj.
Of the immeasurable beauty of Shyama Sundara Krishna, Radha Krishna, and how not just like Rukmini, but in a similar way, we also can become completely enchanted and so attractive. So my question is that we are not Purusha, we're Prakriti. We're not the enjoyer. But then it seems like a contradiction because now we're being instructed to enjoy big time, as we say in America, enjoy big time. In other words, enjoy the most beautiful, the big, big enjoyment. So how can we reconcile with the fact that we're not the enjoyer? You may think we're enjoyer, we're not the enjoyer. So how does that work?
Yes. In my humble understanding, when we come to temple, it is correct that Krishna is a supreme enjoyer. So we come to the temple with the mood that now Krishna will enjoy me. So I come to temple with proper tilaka, proper bath, fresh washed clothes, clean shave, for boys and males, and with a pure heart that, my Lord, I am your servant, please enjoy me. We come to the temple with that attitude. At the same time, Krishna is so beautiful, that is feast for eyes. It's not for enjoyment. It is a natural affection, natural attraction of devotees. And the beautiful deities, initially, there may be a mood of going and seeing the beautiful decorated forms of the Lord, and that is welcome because that is how we start getting attracted to Krishna and develop a service attitude that, yes, I used to come to temple to enjoy the beauty, but actually he is the enjoyer, I am not the enjoyer, so let me go to temple to offer service to him and let him enjoy me. So initially this may be a part of attraction towards the deities. Gradually, as we continue our sadhana, we understand that our attitude should be, I am servant, he will enjoy me. That's my
appreciating the beauty is also to be considered service.
Yes, yes. Saying to people, oh, today I went to temple, Shyam Sundar is very beautiful. That is appreciation and preaching. Hare Krishnas are very good. That is preaching. That is appreciation. That is initial Shraddha. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Any more comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
So you said earlier, black is also beautiful. that tendency or that norm is not really there so much, you know, because the tendency is like you want to describe something beautiful, you describe it other than black, you know, and like you hear about the associates of Yamraj, black and pitch black and things like that, and even in paintings and stuff, you want to degrade something, you put it in black, you know. So you were saying black is also beautiful. Maybe you could say something more about that. Because I know that the tendency is, maybe even in India we heard that people like more white skin you know, than black skin. So maybe you could, you know, elaborate a little bit more.
Well, when we use the word black or dark, it is different from what Krishna's color is. His color is transcendental. So I was just lightly mentioning that in the market they sell this cream to say that fair is beautiful, dark is not beautiful. But that's not the case with Krishna. When we say Shyam Sundar, we may refer to him as Shyam or dark, but he is Sundar, he is beautiful. So just a light thing. Shyam Sundar, Shyam is dark and beauty. Okay? Any more comments or questions?
Just a quick comment.
Yeah.
One nice thing about getting very old is that you have lots and lots of past memories to draw from, experiences. And going way back, you know, to the late 1950s, I was in a Jewish, like, Zionist camp, and they taught us many songs. And it just shows how the Vedic culture and even Vaishnavism filters through to other cultures. There's actually one song that said, do not be afraid or do not be upset that I am black.
Mm.
I am black and beautiful.
Right.
So, it didn't mention the name Krishna, but it's amazing how these things filter through. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
One devotee mentioned that you were kind of scientific minded. If we analyze, the uniforms as we, you know, see scientifically through the eyes of science, they can see so many billion light years away, but there's no vision of an ocean, a great majestic ocean, like, you know, like we're talking about Garbhodakashayi Ocean and Karnadakashayi Ocean and stuff. What's your perspective on that? How can you explain to someone that, you know, I mean, if they question you like that, how would you answer?
Why we are not seeing the ocean?
Yeah. What, I mean, you know, the scientists said they could see for 95 billion light years away, you know, like that.
Well, Srila Prabhupada mentions in one purport that if they make a spaceship, with the speed of mind, traveling billions of years, still they cannot reach the end of the universe. So that's beyond what their present capability is anyway. So whatever is beyond the whatever limit 95 you are saying, beyond that there is something. So the Garbhodak Ocean is inside the universe, beyond all the planetary systems. Brahma couldn't reach the end of the navel, and the navel is the Lord below that Sheshanag, below that ocean. And that ocean is transcendental water, the sweat of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. So by one's senses one can't perceive. Even when Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot went to meet Mahavishnu, they had to cross through darkness, which is very difficult to penetrate by ordinary person. Not difficult, impossible. So it's beyond our senses. Okay? Forget the ocean, they can't see Paramatma in the heart, so close, because there is no instrument. We end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna, sorry. I had some...